Chapter 17.
There was a time when I thought of war as an exciting prospect, and maybe even desirable, compared with the unrelenting dullness of my early life on Tatooine. Almost anything else was attractive. But I have discovered since then that there is precious little comfort to be had by anyone during war. The constant stress and loss of friends is like getting lost in the dunes of my homeworld, slowly drying up the tissues of your life until all that remains is a crispy shell of a person. But sometimes, I should say very rarely, but it happens, you encounter a range of rocks in the sand. And hidden away somewhere among the crags is a spring nestled in a crevice, a life-saving oasis that is all the sweeter for its unexpected appearance. Nakari was like that. After isolating the threat represented by Mig Burkett and Barisk Faven, we had an afternoon and evening of free time, until the new engine arrived the next day, and Nakari surprised me by inviting me to relax in her room, a suite with a couch and table and a holoprojector. I accepted, and an afternoon of trading stories about the desert extended into a dinner of room service Pazic meat, which was in my opinion tastier than Nerf, and a significant point in Kupo's favor. At some point, about halfway through the meal, she laughed about something, and her smile was so charming that I forgot not to stare when she caught me again. She literally had to snap me out of it.
Hey. Hey.
What?
If you're looking for food, Luke, it's down there in front of you,
she said, pointing with her fork.
Sorry, I said, dropping my head and feeling the heat rush into my face, trying to think of a time when I'd felt more embarrassed and coming up with nothing. She chuckled softly.
You're not what I expected, you know, she said, and waited until I looked up.
Seeing my raised eyebrow, she reassured me with a nod.
That's a good thing. You weren't what I pictured from the very first moment we met on the Patience.
You had a mental picture of me before we met?
Well, yeah. You hear about someone blowing up the Death Star, someone painted as a hero of the Alliance, and you think, that kid's head is probably so swelled it has its own gravity by now. Or you think someone like that is all about duty and righteousness, and wears super tight underwear. No sense of humor, you know. Because when they prop up someone as a hero, they're not promoting you as a real person. You're this ideal of political zealotry.
Simultaneously amused and horrified, I said, "So in your head I was a stuck-up ideologue with no room in my shorts?" She gave an embarrassed laugh.
Maybe something like that, yeah.
Wow, I've never been so glad to defy expectations.
I'm glad to be proven wrong.
Thinking of the aftermath of Yavin, I sighed, dinner forgotten. If I'm honest, though, I probably did let it go to my head for a while.
Ah, so I just caught you at a good time?
Kind of. I mean, have you ever looked back at who you were 2 years ago, or even 6 months ago, and shook your head at how stupid you were back then? Her expression brightened in recognition.
Yeah, I know that feeling. And you want to go back in time, armed with what you know now, and tell her how it is.
Exactly. 2 years ago, I thought I'd never escape Tatooine, and I complained about everything. I grimaced at the memory of how I'd behaved. I definitely have some things to tell that kid now. And then everything changed. I met a Jedi, joined the Rebellion, and almost instantly had this tremendous success. I saved a princess and blew up a superweapon, got a medal from the same princess, fireworks in my honor, and everything. That could turn your head into a planet really fast.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just a polite noise and my cue to continue, but Nakari drummed her fingers on the table to stop me and then asked a dangerous question couched in a coup.
Tell me, Luke, Am I mistaken in thinking you have feelings for that princess? Because I thought I heard a note of yearning there.
My eyes shifted to her face and found hers waiting, studying my expression carefully. After a couple seconds of terror, I remembered a widely held policy about honesty and how it was probably for the best.
No, you're not entirely mistaken, I said.
But we're just friends.
Ah, pilot, that's not going to fly. I'm talking about what you want, not what you are.
I couldn't believe the conversation had gotten this uncomfortable this quickly. I wasn't any sort of expert on relationships, but I felt certain that I had already said too much, and it was unwise to speak to one person about your desire for another. Honesty, I reflected, might not always be the best policy. Sometimes you need to take evasive action.
I think it doesn't matter what I want. I'm a farm boy, and she's a princess. Being her friend is about all I can hope for.
Nakari shook her head slowly as she spoke, not letting me get away.
She's not all that inaccessible for you. You're not a farm boy anymore.
All right, maybe I'm not, but she's never shown any interest in me beyond friendship and what I can do for the Alliance. I hope we're not going to fight about her.
Nakari's eyes hardened, and her lips pressed together in a thin line. Hopes are fragile things, Luke, especially right now, because it sounds like who you want and who you're with are different people.
For a fleeting half-second, I was elated that she thought I was with her, but I squashed that feeling because that might not be her thought for much longer.
No, that's not it at all. Why are you angry? You asked if there was a note of yearning, and I was honest and admitted one, but it's nothing beyond that.
Nakari held up her good hand to quell any further words, and then used it to pinch the bridge of her nose as she shut her eyes and took a deep breath. After she exhaled, her hand dropped away and her eyes opened.
Honesty is usually good, Luke. You're right. But sometimes it's not what people want to hear.
Oh. Well, I wish I could go back to the Luke of 2 minutes ago and tell him how it is. Much to my relief, she snorted, and her mouth split in a wide smile.
Don't be too hard on him. His first impulse there was a good one.
Allowing myself a cautious grin, I said, All right, I'll go easy on him. But I do apologize for encouraging any doubts with my honesty. The honest truth you should remember is that I'm glad we met.
Matterboy, she said, encouraging me. You bring me the sugar now. Go on.
It took me a moment to realize she was speaking metaphorically, but I was glad I caught myself before I moved to search for a sugar packet in the hotel room.
Right, sugar. Well, you are so... I'm so what, Luke? Don't stop now.
So, how do people do this? Everything I can think of to say sounds trite and insincere in my head.
Don't worry. You've just earned all these sincerity points with the too much honesty thing. That's not saying you shouldn't strive to be original. I'm just saying that if you blurt out something I've heard before, I might believe you.
Ah, but no pressure, right? She winked.
Right.
Well, actually, that's something I really admire about you.
No pressure.
Nakari narrowed her eyes.
You sure this is sugar?
Definitely. I guess this is a roundabout compliment, but I'm going for originality.
All right. Dazzle me.
Well, I don't feel the crushing weight of your expectations. I mean, you had them, you just shared them with me, but I never would have known unless you said something. And believe me, that's refreshing. Important. Nakari prodded me to clarify.
Important how?
I struggled to find the right words. Ever since the Battle of Yavin, I feel
sometimes that people expect me to top it and wonder why I haven't yet. What I feel from you is encouragement to top it, which is very different and rare. The other person who habitually encouraged me was Leia, but I thought it best not to elaborate on that. Nakari leaned back in her chair.
Whoa, I'm not encouraging you to top the Death Star thing.
I know, that probably didn't come out right. Let me try again. The secret about the Battle of Yavin was that I succeeded because of the Force. So to me, topping what I did there doesn't mean a bigger explosion or killing more stormtroopers. It means taking another step along the path to becoming a Jedi. And I've made more progress in the Force since I met you than any other time after I lost Ben. I actually have hope that I can learn to use it now, and it's because of your encouragement. So, you see, I flailed for some kind of original phrasing, and nothing came to mind. Panicked that I would clam up and lose another awkward silence into the world, I finished up with a simple fact. You're good for me. Nakari waited a few beats to make sure I was finished.
That was some pretty complex sugar, she said, her mouth teasing up to the left. But you wrapped it and put a neat little bow on it at the end.
She leaned forward again, pushed her plate out of the way, and propped an elbow on the table, resting her cheek against her good hand. Her half-smile bloomed into a wide one.
That wasn't bad, Luke. Full points.
I felt giddy and exhausted at the same time, the way you feel after a narrow escape from death. I was glad she didn't seem intent on fanning the flames of jealousy. I didn't doubt for a second that she still thought of Leia as competition, but at least for the moment she was content to let it slide. And I had better not push my luck any further. Having negotiated one minefield successfully, I'd be a fool to step back in and dance around. Reaching across the table to snag her plate, I placed it on top of my own and rose to clear away dinner. You know what? I said as I moved to the kitchenette. If I could go back to see that old Luke, the one right after the Battle of Yavin, with a medal around his neck, still riding high after sinking proton torpedoes down an exhaust port that must be history's greatest design flaw, I don't think I'd be angry with the way he felt back then. But I'd tell him it wasn't always going to be that easy, because the Empire's obviously still out there. A huge victory for us was only an inconvenience for them. They still kill and enslave people. Well, I don't need to remind you of that. We're hiding in the Outer Rim like the vermin the Empire says we are, and running missions like this one where we don't know if it will make a difference or not, or if anything we do really matters.
Oh, it matters, Luke, Nakari said.
When I turned to look at her, she had a crease between her eyes and was regarding me intensely.
We are the thorn that pricks the Emperor's finger when he looks at the galaxy as his personal garden. And you know who he punishes every time we get away with something? Vader.
What? How do you know that?
Because Poodoo rolls downhill, and Vader's not at the top. He passes it on to everyone beneath him, for sure, but he gets it first every time the Emperor is displeased. And the fact that we are still out here displeases him plenty, I bet.
You want Vader to get what's coming to him, eh?
Sure. I mean, it's not all I want. But I wouldn't pass up a chance to take a shot at him if the opportunity presented itself. He took my mom from me and betrayed your dad. Don't you want him dead?
I want him defeated.
Dead qualifies as defeated, Nakari pointed out.
Yeah, but I guess I'd like to know how he became the thing that he is, so I would know what not to do. You can't get answers from a dead man.
Hold on. You think you could turn all evil like that? You think you have that inside you?
No, that's not what I meant. Ben said
he'd been seduced by the dark side of the Force. Almost like he didn't have a choice. I need to know more. Nakari's voice deepened along with the crease between her eyes.
He chose to send my mother to the Spice Mines and let her die there, Luke. It wasn't some metaphysical dark side that made him do it. He chose to do that, just like everything else he's chosen to do. He's not helpless, he's responsible.
Seeing my mistake, I hastened to reassure her. Yes, he is, absolutely. I'm not saying I agree with Ben. I simply don't know what he meant. There are mysteries about the Force to which Vader might know the answers.
True. But you couldn't trust anything he said anyway. So why talk?
Like it or not, he's one of the few people remaining in the galaxy who can even discuss it with me. Nakari blinked.
So what are you saying? You want him to teach you?
No, of course not. I just think I could learn something from him. She made a noise like steam escaping a pressure valve.
I don't think you'd like anything you learned. He's not going to make you happy.
No, I suppose not.
Vader probably doesn't even know what happiness is. You know what? I bet he's never had a slice of cake.
The abrupt change of subject startled me. What? Cake is happiness?
Absolutely. You want to ask him something when he's defeated? Ask him that.
Her voice changed this time, not to imitate her father, but to imitate me.
Lord Vader, have you ever had any cake? Answer me.
She sounded strange and kind of nasal. Hey, I don't sound like that. Do I?
Don't get distracted. We're discussing Vader's dessert preferences. If he says yes, he's had cake, then he was a human at one point and remembers what it was to be happy. And you can continue to talk because there's some common ground there. But if he says no, he's hopeless. Chuck him out the airlock and end his misery.
We started laughing, and even though it wasn't that funny, we laughed until our stomachs hurt, and tears streamed from the corners of our eyes. When you laugh at something that scares you, it's not so scary anymore. Which is probably the reason Vader had Nakari's mother sent to the Spice Mines. He wanted to be feared, and couldn't bear to be mocked. I never told Nakari, but I thought those stolen moments with her in a Capoan hotel were so much better than cake.